Storyville. The human cost of the Hamas massacre in Israel and the war that followed in Gaza has been catastrophic. This film cannot tell everyone's story. Its focus is on events at Nova, an international music festival, one of the sites attacked by Hamas on October 7th, triggering Israel's military response in Gaza. Every effort has been made to locate the survivors and the families of victims to obtain consent for their inclusion. The material comes from CCTV, the mobile phones of witnesses and first responders. It contains graphic violence and descriptions of drug use. Jubilant festival-goers rocking to the sounds of a DJ under a blue and purple canopy resembling the petals of a giant flower. The male DJ pumps the air, encouraging the teeming crowd at the open-air event. Now, the venue's deserted and debris is strewn across the ground. A wooden post bearing a chill-out zone sign is leaning at an awkward angle. Aiton, 28.
I think about everything that happened that day. Even if I don't want to think about it, it pops up. Kind of dive into the thoughts sometimes by mistake.
A discarded soft drink bottle, scraps of charred belongings, and a bullet casing.
At the beginning, I thought maybe to tell my friends to leave, but at that point, it was already too late.
A bullet hole in a windscreen.
They're shooting at us, and they're going to try to kidnap us or kill us. Everyone was trying to call some authority, and no one was really answering.
Amongst the voices, hello, police, the party, I think there are terrorists here. I can't help you right now. Where are you?
I remember at one point that there was a really big explosion, and I flew back. Someone flew on me, and when I finally got up, I realized that I was sitting in a pile of bodies. Car after car with dead people. Then you start realizing what happened. We survived a horrific terror attack that didn't seem possible to survive. I've kind of understood that I'm never going to be the person that I was before the 7th of October. And I'm trying to figure out who I'm going to be now.
Nighttime. A figure in the dark, dancing with a streamer generating purple light. People silhouetted against the light coming from a festival DJ booth.
The festival itself was amazing. I've not seen anything even remotely close to that in Israel in years. Everything was perfect. The energy of people just wanting to dance and enjoy themselves and then going at it with all that they have, it was beautiful. There's something about seeing a trance dance floor move. You feel connected, you feel part of something. You're accepted no matter who you are and what you're bringing.
The view from the booth.
3,500 people went to a festival to dance in the nature for peace and for love. And 400 of them didn't come home. And they're not going to.
The faces of the interviewees spinning in a zoetrope. It sounds like slaughter, like squid game, like target practice. People dropping one by one. You have nowhere to run. We will dance again. A woman in cargo pants and a black top perches on a stool. Hi, I'm Lali. I'm 20. I've been going to festivals and raves with my mum since I was young. Since I was five, I was by the left speaker. That's my spot. There's no place that's more filled with love than a trance party. We arrived at the Nova Festival on Friday at about 7 p.m. Before the music started, before everything. I was supposed to go and work as a bartender, but at the last minute, I decided I wanted to just attend the festival and have a good time and not work. A woman with brown ringlets says, David knows how to enjoy every moment. I saw him lose himself in the middle of a dance floor, dancing happy, and I approached him. I put a sweet in his mouth and said, now put me on your shoulders. He put me on his shoulders and we danced. Love at first sight. Pictures of her dancing and kissing David. Nom Ben David, 27, actress, model and painter. October 6th, 11 p.m. David and I arrived at the party area. David helped me unpack. We arranged everything at the booth. It's a rave. People are there to dance. But it's a place where you go to express your art. I create live paintings and sell them. Haleli, 21. Hirsch and Anna came to pick me up right after dinner. They both used to be religious too, so we immediately started talking about what did you tell your family before you left. We all talked about how awkward it was to leave Shabbat dinner to go to the party. We could all relate. It's like that in every religious home. Leaving Friday dinner to go out it's hard. It's not easy. I met Aner in our youth movement. He's someone who knows everyone. Aner and Hirsch are good friends. Hirsch is into parties the same way I am. He asked me, how did you tell your parents you were going to the party? I didn't know then. Hirsch didn't tell his own parents. He kept it from them. A few minutes before we arrived, he suddenly said, it would be so scary if a rocket hit this place. If they started firing rockets at us, we're so close to Gaza. It's crazy, they're throwing a party so close to Gaza. A map of the region.
In these kind of raves, you don't really know where it is. And you get a location the night of the party. I remember driving and just looking out the window and seeing Gaza, and I didn't even think it was dangerous. We were all students starting our fourth year. We all liked going to parties, and the second the Nova tickets came out, they were really cheap. It seemed like a perfect thing to do right before the year started.
Yuval, 23. We heard about the party on Instagram. I'm looking at the lineup of DJs and I get excited. I think, no way. It's everyone and everything I love. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience and I have to do it. I call Tamir. We always go to trance parties together. He's my best friend. Tamir Lachetz, 23 years old. I can't dance. I never knew what to do with myself at regular parties. At my first rave, I thought, oh, I don't know what to do with my body here. Yuval continues. At midnight, we start driving south to the party. I see lots of tents. People have shown up early, set up their camp. October 7th, 1 a.m.
When I got there and I understood that I can see the fence dividing us from Gaza from where we are, I was like, well, it's been quiet for a while. There haven't been any missiles. It'll probably be okay. So my name is Noor. I'm 29 years old. I work as a booking agent for electronic music. I came to the Nova party for work. I brought a DJ from Hungary. My job was to take him to the party, let him play his set, and then take him back home. This production was in collaboration with the Universo Paralelo. It's a very big festival in Brazil. They were like Israel. It looked like we were at a concert somewhere in Europe. It was beautiful. I met people and DJs from all over the world. There are Jews and Arabs and tourists that come in. You see people from every edge of religion. It's not something that we notice. It's not something that we care about. Be a human being, be happy, smile, dance with people, and you'll probably be fine in the end.
Siv, 26. We arrived at about 4:30 a.m. We went to the dance floor and started our night. We gradually started meeting friends of ours, people we see at every party. We saw Keshet there too. He's impossible to miss. A kind person with his joy. You can't put it into words. Elazar, 26. Then Yaakov, 25. I met Keshet. With that smile of his, we hug right away. We're walking around meeting friends. I think I saw Shani on the floor at some point, a tall girl with dreads. She's hard to miss, like a focal point that draws people to her. You can't go through a party without seeing Keshet and Shani. What they both have in common is that they have free minds, happy people by nature. A photo of blonde Keshet. He looks like some kind of angel, beautiful people bursting with energy. This is what the chance scene is all about. We know it. Yaakov and Elazar. Trance isn't just music, it's a state of mind. I see it as a journey for the soul. You have less ego, you're more... You connect. You connect with nature, with people. You're more accepting, more supportive, less judgmental. Tamir says, we scored some ecstasy. And Ron tells me he's never done it. Ron, my friend from work, I care about him deeply. I thought he was a nerd at first. He's like a tech genius and he's a sensitive guy. And he started asking for my advice because I'm like the authority on raves. It really is very exciting. So much fun. And he trusts me so much that he's going to take it for the first time with me. Kafir, 23. I took half a pill, I swallowed it and said, today's a holiday. I'm from a very decent Polish family. When my mum hears this, she's going to freak out. It's like a roller coaster of emotions. They just come out in the most extreme and purest ways. Video of wheelchair user Ruth Peretz. I remember there was someone in a wheelchair at the party, and she had this glowing stick. The colors really appealed to me. I remember I approached them and told her dad, you're such a great guy, so great. A father who takes his daughter, who's in a wheelchair, to a trance party. It affects people in so many ways. Any person, no matter who they can come and be, one soul, among everyone. Really, I was moved to tears. Everybody's saying, we're going to get so high. A stranger comes up to you and says, can I give you a hug? And I'm like, sure. I won't say no to a hug. My name's Elad Hakim, 23 years old. I model. I do a bit of acting and I write a lot of songs. We've been in this dark night for so long that when the sun begins to rise, you see how beautiful everyone is. Kafir, the party starts at sunrise. That's when everyone goes wild. It's like waiting for the starter pistol at a race. People are planning for the drugs to kick in at sunrise because sunrise is the peak. Tamir, I get more ecstasy and we're going harder, having a good time.
There's something about the moment that the sun rises, that you suddenly see the people around you, that you suddenly see the smiles, and that the energy comes together. You can actually see the dance floor moving into a place. I was on the stage, so I could actually see it. I looked at the person next to me, and we were both like, wow.
Looking out across the crowd from the DJ booth, then the DJ egging them on. This is a test of frequency instruments. As another track begins, a blond man's enthusiastically punching the air amongst the crowd. Nom says, David's dancing like crazy, on the dance floor, happy. Yuval, and then I look right, and I see rays of light coming from a distance.
I see a bunch of people looking up to the sky. Okay, probably just like seeing the sun rise or something.
My friend tells me, wow, Lali, there's fireworks. Fia, it's fireworks, man. Relax, you're just high. Then I look. It's not fireworks.
The last video I took from my phone was at 6:28 in the morning. It was the last drop that he played.
An explosion in the sky.
And the moment that I stopped filming, someone grabbed my hand and showed me the sky.
Nara and a colleague tell the DJ to stop playing at 6:29 a.m. on October the 7th, then call out from the booth, red alert, red alert.
We yelled into the crowd, Seva Adom, Seva Adom, everyone scattered.
Oh my God.
It was like a screen coming up from the sky of rockets, just like...
The most rockets I've ever seen in my life.
Elad, it was crazy. In a second, everything turned upside down. Let's stand next to something. Come on, what's happening? F. Everybody on the ground, put your hands over your head.
We laid on the ground. I was honestly scared. You're in an open field. There's rockets everywhere. Nothing is stopping these rockets from falling exactly where I am right now.
People start running everywhere. Nobody knows where the shelter is or what to do. Everybody's rolling. This sucks so much. Everyone's high. Is it real or not? Nobody understands a thing. So many interceptions. The drugs are kicking in, I swear to God. I'm shocked. The tunnel, if you drop acid, it can really put you through hell, because you might see things much worse than they are. Yaron, 22. I'm used to missiles, I live near the border, but he... I'm not familiar with this. I can't believe it, look at the sky. I can't believe it. Smoke trails from rockets. Oh God, look, look. Over the PA. People, the event is over. Ben, 24. Gradually, the dance floor empties. They start telling us to take our things and go home. A lot of people decided to leave as fast as possible, but I thought, there's no point in running right now. I decided to go to our things and start packing them up. Sitting in a folding chair. Rockets from Gaza. The party's over. Everyone evacuates. I'm chilling. Everything will be fine. Haleli, we're at our camp hugging each other, laughing at the situation. Party. Aner, Hersh, all my friends who were there. We took a selfie, one last selfie, and everyone went their own way. Grinning, Hersh and Aner leave with their belongings. Multiple smoke trails in the early morning sky, then festival goers hurrying away. Siv, man, this is serious, get real. Do you know how many interceptions we've seen? I remember there's even a video where you can see me in the video looking at the sky and telling Aliyah, this is not an ordinary situation, what's with all the barrages? This is different. I met Aliyah when I was 19. We've been together 7 years. Aliyah and I are soulmates. I can't even explain our connection. Let's just say we haven't spent one day apart since we started dating. Romantic pictures of Aliyah and Ziv. We still don't quite understand what's happening. I grab Aliyah's hand. I tell them, guys, you can relax. I'm driving. I'll bring you home safely. The festival site on a satellite image of the area, then Noah.
We were parked in the artist's VIP area. The big parking was a little bit more in, so we were very close to the road. We could get out very quickly. I went to the DJ and I told him, listen, there's no time for goodbyes, there's no time for waiting. We're running to the car, we're leaving.
Heading down a dusty track.
And we were driving on route 232. On the way north, we passed Berry. I'd close the windows and put on music so that we don't hear what's going on outside, and we were driving.
6:45 a.m. I can't believe it. They're shooting rockets. This is crazy. Imagine a rocket falls here. I remember I just froze. I said, why is everyone lying on the ground? We're in an open area. What good is it going to do? Then I thought, pull yourself together. You have a kid. Do what everyone else is doing. I'm Eleanor Gambrian, 24 years old. I'm a single mother to a beautiful 8-year-old boy. His name is Oshri. He's my reason for living. Cuddling Oshri. I love you more than anything, my love. I told myself, go look for the car and get out of here. She crosses her arms and everyone's driving like this. Everyone's high, tripping.
She calls.
Lad, I've never been that drunk. I'm totally out of it. And I'm the one driving. And I'm not even sure where the pedal is. I try to understand the situation. I'm slapping myself. I think, okay, I have to function somehow. There's a crazy long line. Looking through Eleanor's windscreen, traffic moves a tiny bit, then stops again. I pull out my phone because I'm sick of waiting in traffic and I film like this, checking things out. Yuval, I sit in front, Ron gets in behind me, Tamir's the driver and we start driving. We drive between two cars and bypass the giant line. We get to the road. We drive south for 10 to 15 minutes. Ron calls his friend. Johnny, you're not going to believe the party I was just at. This is the first time I got high, and he's laughing his ass off. We're smiling, okay. We made it out. Everything's fine. We pass a road shelter. Tamir slows down, but we pass it. Tamir wants to stop at a different road shelter, and I tell him, never mind, let's get to the next one. Eitan.
Rockets were exploding over our heads. We didn't understand if we're safe or we're not safe. We stop at the side of the road if we see the Migunit. Concrete structure on the side of the road that is supposed to be as close to a bomb shelter as possible. And it seemed like the smartest move to make, to go into the Migunit.
Siv. Amit is 19, but to me, he's still a child. I'm his aunt, and I have to take care of him. A rocket trail in the sky. So I decide to stop at a bus stop with a small road shelter beside it. From the road shelter on the satellite image to the tailback of cars leaving the site. Nom's taking a selfie video from David's car. Wow, that was a hell of a party, right? There was a car jam at the exit. We pulled over to the side. David got out, opened the car boot, took out a mat. We sat there. Sitting under a tree, David nods along as Nom sings, fireworks, your sky is thirsty for fireworks. We were optimistic. These were interceptions, and it would pass. David, what can you do? Nom, the party was a total blast. Yafir, we went off to the side, and we saw a few guys sitting there playing Bob Marley. I'm telling you, there's rockets in the air. I mean, oh well, the party's ruined. That's fine. Nom, it's been less than 5 minutes. We saw a man dressed in black running towards us. In the background, automatic gunfire. Video of the man. And he's screaming as he runs. Either you run now and survive, or you stay here and it's over for you. An hour earlier, in Gaza. Men in paramilitary uniforms. Hassan, where's your bike? May you martyr yourselves, guys. Become shaheed, martyrs. Come on, Allah. I test there's no God but God. The armed men set off on motorbikes as rockets streak towards Israel. Smoke and heavy gusts of wind from explosions at a border fence. Another fence is being demolished by a bulldozer. They're tearing it apart, guys. May God have mercy on that fence. Foot soldiers cross the border. Keep going straight. Go, go, go. A truck is driven through an open gate and men slip through a gap in a concrete wall. To heaven, guys, get inside. In the name of God, we'll win. It's their car. Shoot the car. The Hamas attack was unprecedented in scale and sophistication. The IDF says that more than 3,000 terrorists breached the 40-mile border in around 30 places, using the cover of rocket fire to cross by air, land and sea. Men on motorbikes, let's not lose the others. We're going to carry out a bigger mission. God, let your soldiers win. God, protect us from the cursed devil. In the name of God, the merciful, it'll be 20 million years before they understand what's happened. Even if 10,000 of us die for Islam. Biri, it's Kibbutz Biri. They fire on the compound. On a truck, we want a live broadcast. We want to show those left inside what's going on here. There's a live broadcast, don't worry. Look, they've taken a hostage. The time of the Jihad Nation has arrived. A man jumps down from the truck and heads off firing a weapon. Another takes a selfie. Allahu Akbar, God is great. A man held captive pleads, please, I'm begging you. If he doesn't speak, shoot him. Don't worry, I'll finish him off. A man sings, you'll be seeing some miracles real soon. Men try to halt a silver hatchback coming towards them, then open fire when it tries to get by. Onboard video of bullets hitting the windscreen. Out of control, it runs into the back of a black 4x4. A man runs up shouting, kill, kill them. A man looking in at the bodies in the hatchback says, they're all dead, I checked. On a motorway, Tamir. We're driving and we're pretty much alone on the road. Suddenly a car appears on the road, a white car with a police plate, and it slows down. Val, the moment we start passing the police car, it honks really loud, and the officer puts his arm out of the car. He screams, terrorists coming up in front of you, terrorists. Tamir, he said that, and in an instant we saw them. Trust God and pray. I put it into reverse, turned the car around, and we start driving back. Noah.
When we got to about 200 meters before Mifosim, we took the turn. The two cars that were in front of me suddenly hit the brakes.
I grabbed Tamir's hand, hard, hard. Ron is sitting in the middle behind us. It's chaos, proper fear.
Balagan, pachad, pachad.
At first, it looked like an accident. So my first instinct was, you need to get out and help someone. So I opened my door. And the moment I opened my door, I heard the first bullet.
From Noah's car on the Helfersin Junction on the satellite image, to Megunit, the road shelter near the festival site. Eitan.
At this point, no one knows that there's terrorists that entered Israel. I think there was about 19 people in Megunit. Tiny structure, there's not that much room to move inside. Some of the people are still standing outside just to look at the rockets. And then slowly more and more people come.
Siv, we're waiting inside the shelter. We still don't quite understand what's going on. I grab Elia's hand. There's no internet, so we didn't get any updates about what was happening either. There was a Muslim Bedouin there. His name is Osama. He works in one of the communities there nearby. I tell him, why aren't you going inside the shelter? Aren't you afraid of the rockets? He says, no, I'm used to it. I work here. Everything's fine.
Finally, four people arrived. One of them was Anir Shapira, and one of them was Hirsch Goldberg. Anir was very confident, I remember it. He walked in, he told us that there's a big attack on Israel from Gaza. He didn't really elaborate too much. My heart jumped a beat, and I realized that something bad is about to happen. I felt it so deep in my stomach that I didn't even know what to do or how to react. At the beginning, I thought maybe to tell my friends to leave, to get in the car and drive away, but at that point it was already too late.
Dusk at the festival site.
Yakov,
at this point we're stuck in a bottleneck. It's this small incline where the road diverges right and left. Keshet calls him. He points to Elazar. Elazar, he says, Uzi, I'm hurt. I tell him, just wait, Keshet. I'm coming. Something like that. I hang up. And I turn around and head back towards the party to look for him. Aleli, I went behind the central stage to get a beer. I figure, as soon as the rockets will stop, we'd leave. Get out of there. Suddenly, some guy goes psst at me. I hear a psst. And I look under the stage and I see four guys hiding. They say, listen girl, get under the stage. There are terrorists here. I thought, what? Okay, they're panicked. They're not okay. A lot of people flipped out. A lot of people were rolling. Get down. Get down. Elazar, I remember, I'm running. The cars nearly run me over. And I hear bursts of gunfire approaching. Total panic. Picture the situation. We were under the influence of psychedelic drugs. It makes everything more extreme. I return to the car and tell them with complete confidence, Keshet's going to make it. I'm dead serious. Keshet's going to make it. He's a survivor. Ambulance. Ambulance service. Oh man, God. Yeah, get a tourniquet on her. Here's a tourniquet. Keshet's called to the ambulance service. Ambulance service, Rachel speaking. I'm here near the Gaza Strip. My friend, her entire leg. You've got to send an ambulance. We need an ambulance, very bad. Tell me where. I don't know exactly where I am, okay? I'm here at the Gaza envelope. We were at a party here, but we need an ambulance, her leg. But I need to know where to send it. What happened? What happened? I'm scared shitless. I can't really move. I'm hurt. Please get here, okay? I'm on my way, honey. Is she conscious, your friend? She's conscious, yes. Please get an ambulance here. We need an ambulance right now. Ambulance service right now. The girl's losing blood. She's losing blood. Terrorists managed to cross the border. Looks like the cops don't know what to do with themselves. They don't know which way to evacuate us.
Fucking shit.
There's gunfire, gunfire. Why is everyone running? I don't know, what is it? They block the road from both sides. People start running. Jeez, they're shooting at us, swear to God. They're shooting at us. They're shooting at us, man. Terrorists, terrorists. Terrorists are here. They're here. Run, run. Eleanor. At a certain point, we just started running, and I hear the bangs, and only then do I understand what was holding the traffic up. Hamas advanced along the main road towards the festival from both the north and south. The fleeing partygoers were trapped. Go already. Go ahead. Go. Go ahead. Go ahead. Let's go, Sheikh Khaled. Come on, guys. Come on. This is our lucky day. Armed men are at the festival site entrance. That's right, film it. A man kicks a body. You damn dog, you dog. They're already dead, stop. It's their fate. Unit 7, get ready. Throw it. From armed men and blood-stained bodies at the traffic jam on the road to the main festival site, Ben. And then I hear, a few hundred meters behind me, screams. Dozens of people screaming. I look back and I see hundreds, hundreds of people running, screaming, terrorists, terrorists, run, run. I look back and focus my vision and I just feel the bullets whizzing over my head. Literally, I can hear the pew, pew. Maybe we should go inside the portable toilet. Eleanor, an unimaginable number of terrorists spraying everyone with bullets. They fire into a line of bright yellow portable loos standing on the desert sand. Most are signed in Hebrew. One is marked Women's Toilet in English. The gunmen move on. Eleanor, who's hiding by a white car, says, "They shoot like bastards." A man says, "Come on, come on, let's run." "Run where?" "Come on." I don't know who I ran with, I have no idea. We got into the bar area. It was a matter of seconds. The bar fills with people, and everyone just sits there, stunned. At that moment, you're going, "Okay, I'm going to die today. What are my options?" You think of the most absurd things. I look around. I see refrigerators, and I say to the people there, "Listen, let's get into the fridge." No response. I tell them, "Hey, let's get into the fridges." And the guy sitting next to me says, "I think you're the smartest one here. Just get in the fridge." I told him, "What's your problem? Get in." He tells me to get in the fridge, and I thought, okay, there's no way Oshri is going to become an orphan. No way. It's just not possible. I get into the fridge. I'm hiding here inside the fridge. All I'm hearing is gunfire from all around. Terrorists are shooting here. Oh, I'm scared. I'm going to die today. The gunfire's here. It's reached us. I knew any move I made was death. I hear someone opening a fridge and someone saying, why? And then... pure evil. Right in front of you. I understand everything. I see nothing. Tell Oshri I love him. A number of people have taken cover near large, rusting rubbish bins. Nom, we ended up between two containers. Yellow ones, waste containers. I told David, "I'm not asking you. We're getting into the container." I could hear the bullets like... they would enter my body at any moment. Okay, come on. Come on, let's go over there. We got into the container and saw there were other people who'd already been hiding there. Quiet, quiet. I kept saying, "It's going to be okay, it's going to be okay." I wouldn't stop saying it. There was a small opening in the container. I raised my head for a split second, and I could see the stage area through this crack, and I saw a huge number of terrorists there. Aleli, hiding under the stage, there were dozens of people there, all quiet, looking at each other in horror. Video of people huddling together. We're hearing gunshots constantly. They're getting closer and closer. People screaming, begging, then bang. Silence. Wow, it's insane. A man is taken away by a gunman, and another is shot. They saw women, and they just had a lust for murder. And I had to see if they were going to reach us, heaven forbid, if we had to run. Suddenly, someone moves all the tables that people use to block the stage and screams, "Terrorists! Run now! Everybody run!" And the entire crowd goes running. I look to my right. I see a terrorist reloading his gun. He's moving in our direction. We didn't know what to do. I was very, very scared that they would catch me and that they would rape me. I thought I'd rather die running, trying to save myself, rather than getting kidnapped. I thought, God, what do I do now? Then, I get like six people in the car. I think one of them sat on me while I was driving. I saw people running, sprinting. They're all running for their lives. People abandon their cars. Leave the cars. Let's go. Adi, Adi, Adi. Come on, they're shooting. You don't stop running. Don't stop running. Adi, run, run. Come on, run. Here they are, here they are. I ran so fast, my legs weren't touching the ground half the time. Suddenly, I see a car. There's a million people inside. A busted up Chevrolet Cruze. I approach them. They say, get in, get in. I stick my leg inside the driver's window. Picture it. Half my body's outside the car. There's someone doing the same on the other side of the car. Grabs my hand. Someone else on the roof. He grabs my hand and the car's moving. The window's jamming into my ass. It hurts like hell. We all jumped into my friend's car and started escaping the party area. They come from all directions, they're everywhere. I can tell where they're coming from by the people I see dropping. At that moment, I wasn't even thinking about the fact I was watching people get killed in front of me. I go, the terrorists are coming from there. He's been shot. I turn and just see someone get shot in the head. His head drops on the wheel. It looks like a movie, like little dominoes, like Squid Game. It really was like that. You're running and just people dropping one by one, like targets. Time is ticking, every second counts. I make a call while I'm getting shot at. Ask if anyone's hurt. He says he's driving. He's escaped to a safe spot. I start feeling relieved because if anything happens, he's at a safe spot. Bullets whizzing by you, just don't let them hit me. It's at the last point where we can't run to the next one anymore. At that moment, you look at your phone and write the final text. You tell everyone, I went my way, I fought till my last breath. You're playing Russian roulette, just hoping you don't get shot. I'm filming so that I believe it myself. I really couldn't believe anything like that could even happen while I was at the party. I just thought, I have to film to look at it later, if there is a later. I felt something different is going on. I thought that filming, only if it doesn't endanger me, of course, can really be of help later on. Information about time or about people. I was filming and suddenly I see two other girls there with me. They start crying, start getting scared. One has a husband, kids. As they hide in bushes, Ben films himself asking, how many kids do you have? Three. Three. They'll see their mum real soon. Moran put her hands above her head and I put my hands over their heads. I wasn't stroking them, but I gave them the feeling of being supported. But there's someone here. You're not alone. First of all, I tell her that I'm here with her. I know she's got kids at home and she's not going to give up no matter what. And even if she does give up, I'll take her hand and take her with me. Because there's no other option. Sweetheart, you're fine. We're together.
The only thing between me and the terrorists were my car doors. There were a few moments where I thought I was dead. The only reason that they missed is by chance. Something was protecting us. I don't have a word for it. But I thought I was dead. I was either dead or I was very, very hurt and I wasn't feeling it. If I'm not feeling any pain, then I'm probably dead. That was the math I did in my head. I looked at my hands and I understood that I was still alive and that we need to do something. And then I just yelled, get in the car. I looked in the back mirror. I could see the car behind me that had stopped. The driver and the guy that were next to him were shot in the head. And I saw them slaughter people.
Film of gunmen surrounding a car. Someone says he killed a woman. The body of a woman is dragged out of the car and left in the road.
Every car that had come towards us had either been shot off the road, and you could actually see cars just going off the road in a moment. And then people tried to run out of the cars, and there were terrorists shooting them down.
Driving past cars and bodies in the road.
Tuck your heads down. Tuck your heads down. Tuck your heads down.
After we had gone out of the shooting range, I called the police. And the first question they asked me was, what? What do you mean they shot at you? No one understood the situation.
A lad says, suddenly two people appeared on the road. I saw they had Kalashnikovs. I recognized them from computer games. They looked like terrorists. Suddenly a switch gets flipped in my mind and I shout to everyone, get your head down. I hit the pedal, I'm driving. I look at the floor, I don't look at the road. My friends are screaming in the car and I don't understand what's going on. All along the sides of the road, you see people running, you see bodies. Some of them are injured. My brain refuses to process it. And we suddenly see Reem Army Base on the side of the road. A military base is the safest place you could be. I went into the base through the main gate. There was no one there. It was like the base was deserted. I didn't know then that they'd already taken Reem. Footage of gunmen swarming around the base. I heard gunfire inside the base. We saw a mobile shelter and ran there as quickly as we could. At Reem Army Base, film of a lad and another young man hiding in the shelter. There's a terrorist squad here. Outside the building, inside the fucking base. And they shot at us, they shot at our car. It's fucking chaos, man. I look in the corner and suddenly, through a fence that has some gaps in it, I see a guy 5 meters away from me, just walking through with a rifle and mumbling to himself. But I hear the mumbling is in Arabic. A sign reads, Boys' Residence. I instantly go inside and tell my friends, shut up, there's a terrorist here. In the roadside shelter, Ziv recalls, Aner said, I'm letting you know everything I'm seeing. There are two trucks there. It's not the IDF. They have Kalashnikovs. It doesn't look good. A few seconds later, he looks out and says, they're here.
A group of people jump out, screaming in Arabic.
Near the shelter, someone says, here are those dogs. There are many more inside. Throw in an explosive charge. Osama shouted, they're going to kill us, they're going to kill us, they're going to kill us. I told you to run. That's when we realized it was bad. What? Who's going to kill us? What's going on? The group are crowded into the tiny concrete roadside shelter.
Anil tried to calm everyone down as much as possible. And then they started firing at the entrance of the Migunit.
Inside, someone says, everyone pray. The Lord is one.
The Bedouin, he went outside and he tried to talk to them in Arabic. They did horrible things to him and murdered him in the end. Everyone in the Migunit was trying to call some authority, Mada or the cops or the army or someone. No one was really answering.
I think it was 30 seconds before we heard the first sound of a grenade being thrown into the shelter.
And then I see Anil just pick them up and toss them out. And he does that once, and then they throw another one in. And every time they threw in a grenade, he just grabbed it, tossed it out. He acted like a commander. He took all the responsibility on himself. He was focused. He understood that he had a mission. All he was looking for was to fight, to stay alive. I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, this kid is throwing live grenades. I don't think that I've ever heard of anyone ever doing that. I know how dangerous this is. I think there's a chance that he's not the only one that's gonna have to do this. And I kind of get myself ready for the point where if something happens to him, that I'm gonna have to pick up what he left.
Slow motion film of a grenade being thrown out.
8
times a grenade would roll into the shelter and it would grab the grenade and throw it back out. And the 9th grenade exploded inside.
There was a really big explosion and I flew back, someone flew on me. And when I finally got up, I remember Anir wasn't standing anymore, he wasn't with us. Hirsch lost his hand. And he was just sitting there, he said, I lost my hand, I don't have my hand. And he was trying to like tie it off. At that point, I kind of realized that someone's gonna have to continue what he started. And then I remember a grenade flying in, just landing right in front of me. And you could see the flame coming out of the top of the grenade. And it was a few inches, and I remember getting smaller and smaller. And I just picked up the grenade and threw it out. And I'm not sure how many of those there were. I remember the first one, and I remember the last two. The one at the entrance, I remember I was able to throw out. But then there was an explosion. I went flying into the wall and passed out.
Screams and smoke emanating from the shelter. We're going 130, 140 km, running for our lives south. And that's when the real stress starts. Suddenly, I see in front of me, 300 to 400 meters away, I see cars on the road. And there's silence in the car, complete silence for like a second. And I ask Tamir, do you think those are terrorists? And he asks me, do you think those are terrorists? Then they start firing at the car. They shoot up our entire car. Yval and I get our heads down. I'm driving like this. Windshield shattering, bullets hitting metal, bullets hitting the back seats. We're sandwiched between two squads of terrorists, and we're taking tons of fire. Suddenly, Ron says, hey, I'm shot. I got shot in the stomach. I've been shot. I'm going to die. I'm dying. I'm dying. Like that, casually. I'm dying. I can't believe it. I'm dying. I hold the bottom of the wheel and bend down, and I just turn my head, and he's sitting there fairly upright. He had this white button-up shirt, and I can see the wound. I can see a bullet entry wound, and he's covered in blood, from the top of his knees up to his face. All of that was covered in blood, and it's so surreal. Like in that moment, you don't believe what you're seeing. Like, I'm seeing this, and he's telling me, man, I've been shot, I'm dying. It doesn't make sense. It's not something you ever expect to hear. A selfie of this spectacle, Ron, in front of a snowy mountain range. Like, my first thought was, what do you mean? There's no way a bullet just hit you. He told me I'm dying, like he accepted it. It was so strange to me, like, how can you tell? Tamir looks numb. For a moment, the shooting stops, and we can hear... his final breaths. Someone screams, run, run, run away. Yval and I open the door and we start to run. This whole time it's gunfire, explosions and this whizzing. That's another sound I'll never forget. Just like in the movies, you just see them slowly taking aim to slaughter you. I run and turn like this and see Yval, and he screams at me, Yval, Yval. He's running faster than me. I feel the bullets everywhere. I'm ready to sacrifice myself for him. I'll fall to the ground. Pretend I'm dead. Tamir says, and I see Yuval fall, and I understand that I'm alone in this fight now. Yuval says, and I raise my head a little and see that they're focusing all their fire on him. I thought I was sacrificing myself, and then I realize I may have sacrificed him. At the campground near the festival site, jerky handheld footage as a young woman asks, "Why isn't the army here?" "Look at what's happening. Get down, run, run." Haleli says, "We're running. Bullets whizzing over our heads, branches falling, the ground shaking. We don't know how we're alive." We were at the point where we left the party area, and there's no more cover. There was one last row of trees and open terrain. Suddenly, we see a tank. I said, "Let's go hide behind the tank." There were tons of people there. Horrible screaming. There was someone who took a rifle from one of the soldiers who got killed and started to return fire. At a certain point, under heavy fire, a white van came and started to take the wounded from the tank. A few seconds later, they fired an RPG at the van, and the van caught fire, and all the wounded tried to get out, but they couldn't. Everything's full of smoke, destroyed. A lot of people lying on the ground, people wounded. I tried to call the police, no answer. Tried to call an ambulance, no answer. I tried the fire department, no answer. I felt like it was a dream, like it was a nightmare. Lali says, "We spot a military jeep. We approach it. We see it's abandoned, but it's full of blood, and 5 seconds later, a group of 8 terrorists reaches us. They start chasing us." On handheld film, one of the men says, "They run away. This is the end of them." After we manage to get away, we're hiding in the farmland. I look out the window and see that where there's gunfire, the birds start circling above the trees. So every time there's gunfire, the birds circle above the trees. So I know where the terrorists are coming from, where the birds are circling above the trees. Puffs of smoke in the blue sky, people walking through a field. Filming himself, Ben says people are walking, shooting everywhere, explosions everywhere. We left all the cars behind. He then recalls, it was hot. It was very, very hot. And Ryan told me, "Leave me, I'm slowing you down. I don't want you to get hurt. Let me stay here." I looked her dead in the eye and said, "I won't hear of it. Don't ever say that again." And I grabbed her hand and pushed her along with me. Yuval says, "My head is on the ground. I'm pretending to be dead. I mean, with my eyes open. I try not to blink in case anyone's looking at me." 2 terrorists pass by me. One of them goes towards the road. The other approaches with his gun. He looks and points his weapon at me and turns back because someone called him. I see out of the corner of my eye, terrorists grab civilians, take them out of their cars and drag them out. It's like seeing a horror movie with your own eyes. Film of gunmen pulling people out of a pickup truck and shooting them. Tamir, 23, says, "I keep running after Yuval fell, and I end up behind a greenhouse. They can't see me anymore. I call the police." "Police, Shadi speaking. Hello, yes? I left a party near Kisufim. There were sirens, and now there are terrorists here. Where are you?" "I don't know. I ran here through some fields. They killed my friends. They shot them." He has no idea what I'm talking about. He has no idea what I want. "Are you up north in the Sea of Galilee?" "No, no, in the south, near the Gaza Strip. Do your friends need medical help?" "They're dead. They're dead. Killed right in front of me. I don't know what to do." "Tamir, take cover. Go to a shelter. There are terrorists here. What cover?" I start seeing residential buildings. Excuse me, can I come in? I'm knocking on the door like I'm crazy. I'm begging, please, please, open the door. Yuval says, once they leave, and all that's left are the shrieks of pain of the people who are wounded, I make this movement with my back. I go, I feel it. Maybe I miss something from all the adrenaline. And I take off my shirt, and I see blood and two holes in the middle of the shirt. And I get this burst of strength, and I say, I'm not dying here. No way, I'm not dying. I have to survive. After walking a few hundred meters through the fields, I get to a road in the village. I see a shelter, and I get inside. Lali, age 20, says, I call the police. After 5 minutes, they answer. Police, Nissim speaking. They're shooting here. There are terrorists everywhere. We know there's a party. The army is trying to rescue you. There's a turn towards the main road. Right before the turn, driving towards us, five or six armed bikers. On her call, Lali cries, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Please tell my mom I love her. Listen, keep driving. And we continue driving through the orchards crazy fast. Lali, we're driving. Don't let them get near you. And it's even more stressful, the fact that I'm talking with the police, who are the ones supposed to help me, and they can't. Yarin and Natanel. Then we hear someone from the bush across from us. Terrorists. Three terrorists at point-blank range. Everyone just runs in all directions. My whole body felt numb because I was hunched over for so long, so I couldn't get up. One terrorist grabbed me. Grabbed me by the hand. I had my phone in, took my phone. I don't know what happens in those moments. I realized I had to run away. He pulled me by the strap of my backpack. I managed to free myself and I ran towards Yarin. The only thing going through my mind is my iPhone background, which you can't miss. No one would ever think the guy in the photo is straight. He holds up his phone to show a photo of a topless young man. I was sure it was over for me. I was thinking that if I'm taken hostage, I need to come up with a whole cover story for when I'm held in Gaza, so they don't hang me. My family doesn't have to see my burnt body on Telegram, hanging from a tree. Nom, 27, says, I'm lying on someone. Someone's lying on me. At some point, we not only heard gunfire, we heard Arabic. On phone video, someone says, cover yourself with something. Quiet, quiet, quiet. And not only did I hear Arabic, I heard my friend Shani Luke being kidnapped and screaming, please let me go, please don't take me. On video, someone says, get the jeep and let's go. One of the girls in the container raised her head and she shouted, they spotted me. And some terrorist approaches and shouts, Allahu Akbar. And there's a burst of gunfire. Increasingly tearful, Nom continues, and David is trying to breathe.
David?
I remember I just winced, and I knew I couldn't scream. I couldn't even cry. And then I just felt burning. I was like, just praying another bullet wouldn't hit me, because it's automatic fire.
It's Russian roulette. Who gets the bullet?
That's the game. Nom is in a wheelchair. Siv says, from the blast of the grenade, everyone behind me falls on me. Head down, body folded, me and Elia hugging each other tightly, holding hands.
At that point, they started kidnapping people. They took Hirsch out because he was at the entrance. They started putting them in the trucks, whoever they could, and whoever they tried to kidnap.
Terrorists. Yes, bring them. There are more inside. Hurry up. Load them up. Pick him up. I feel Elia's hand completely slipping away from me. I don't understand why he was pulled out of my hand. I never thought for a moment that he was kidnapped from the shelter. Terrorists hitting someone in the back of a pickup. Then someone says, go with him and bring more. Abu Marwan, go with him inside and bring more.
I remember seeing a terrorist walk in. He was wearing all black. He had a black mask on, an AK-47, and a green bandana on his head with the Hamas symbol. I remember you could see his mouth through the mask, like he had a little opening, and he was smiling. Like it was a game that they won. They came back in, and then they started shooting everyone inside.
A person who fell on me a few minutes before from the blast of the grenade. Every bullet he takes, I can really feel his body jumping. And he's right on top of me.
They left. I look left and right. And I thought everyone was acting or playing dead so that they wouldn't get kidnapped. But after a minute or two where when people weren't lifting their heads or waking up, I realized that I was sitting in a pile of bodies.
Eleanor, age 24, says, at some point they're just there, talking among themselves, messing around, shouting, having fun, relaxed. The territory's theirs. The place is theirs. They're totally calm. On film of crash barriers and a scattering of parked cars, someone says, there is no God but God. I wiped out too. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and praise God. I catch myself opening my eyes and I say to myself, did you seriously fall asleep? Then I realized I probably lost consciousness because I don't have any air. I take a risk, I have no choice, I'm suffocating. I open the fridge a bit and I think, maybe this is my chance to escape. I raise my head. I see a body. I close the fridge. At Reem Army Base, a lad, age 23, says, I hear more gunshots getting closer to us and I'm filming. I don't even stick my head out, just my hand with the phone. The second I get the phone back in, a group of like 15 terrorists passes by. I accepted death and I was okay with it. I smiled and I remember in the last moments hearing the screams and hearing the footsteps getting closer. I said to myself, I had a good life. I think it's okay. Suddenly, someone shouts, Israelis? None of us could believe it. Like, yes, we're here. He tells us, run to the intelligence room. The whole base is being overtaken. Filming himself, a lad says, come on, let's go.
Fuck.
Excuse me, he sent us, it's us, Paul. We're Israelis, civilians. We're Israeli civilians. Open the door. They're shooting at us. They're here. Let us in, please. They just decided not to open. They're not opening the door. My friends are begging at the door saying, please open. There's an officer, a major. He sent us. Suddenly, I see two soldiers running towards me. Move, move. Open up right now. Open this door. Open. Run, run, run. Get in, get in. No. Close it, close it. Stay here. We just run into that room and we can hear explosions from outside. And they're trying to break in. And at one point, everyone shows me videos on Telegram. Jerky handheld footage of terrified people being kidnapped. You ain't seen nothing yet, you dogs. I see the terrorists there, kidnapping people, crossing the fence, leaving. All the jeeps came back full. Send more. The jeeps left Tiberi. One more is on its way to you. Everybody, get into the houses. There are more people inside. I look at it and I think, what is happening? Lali says, we're driving. The officer is still on the phone. He tells us, go to Beri. Okay, try to get inside the kibbutz. We approach Beri cautiously. There's no guard. Nobody's here. Everyone here has been shot. Shot, yes. When we reach the gate, we see a car with a person spilling out of it. I see a toilet door near the gate and it's open. We go inside. Meanwhile, I can hear them close by. I didn't see what was happening outside, but it sounded like slaughter. It sounded like slaughter. Film of a terrorist running after people with his rifle raised. Then the images of the victims are blurred as he shoots them. Standing there for a moment, he shoots one victim again as they lie on the ground. And an hour passes, then another hour and another, and the screaming only gets stronger. More and more terrorists arrive, and I understand that no one is coming. No one is on the way. If the army isn't coming, the police aren't coming for that many hours. It means there's no more army and no more police. I thought Israel was conquered. I didn't care that I was going to die. She smiles awkwardly. It's not the fear of dying or the strong desire to live, as much as it is fear for my family. I mean, what's going to happen to them? And how they're worrying about me now, and how they're scared for me. They don't deserve to bury a daughter. For almost 6 hours, Hamas operated in the festival grounds almost unhindered. The rocket fire started at 6:29 a.m., the first police reinforcements arrived at 12:30 p.m. and the army at 2:30 p.m. Anyone wounded? Anyone? Police, IDF. Eleanor says, hours later, when the gunshots were a bit distant, I hear, IDF, IDF, is there someone here? I have dead people here. One, two, three. Four, five dead. Is there anyone here? I have a dead policewoman here. There are some inside. I'm going to the stage. Oh my God. There are dead here. Everyone's dead. The whole bar is full of bodies. Is there anyone here showing signs of life? Let us know you're here. I said, it must be the terrorists. So I didn't move. No signs of life? No. This one's dead. I hear again, this is the IDF. Is there anyone here? Okay, either I'm going to suffocate or I'm going to get shot. It's time to get out. I open the fridge, and what I see isn't just one body. Everything's full of blood. I get out of there, jumping over bodies, and then I just sprint to the fence, and the soldier says, come on, come on. A road littered with abandoned and crashed cars. Haleli, age 21, says, they took us to the road. I see tons of other people there with gunshot wounds in really bad condition, screaming. I tried to help, but I couldn't. I saw all the blood spurts coming out of people and it froze me. Om says, they helped us get out. I saw David lying at the front of the container. I told my sister. David stared.
David.
Eleanor says, they left me there with 30 other wounded. Even when we were in the tent, the number of bodies, horrific. So many bodies. So many bodies.
You were there for another 6 hours. 6 hours in piles of bodies, praying to God that no terrorists come back and just look or pop in their head.
Siv says, we hear someone shouting, is there anyone here? And no one answers him, because a second ago, the terrorists were speaking Hebrew, so we thought, this is it. Either they rescue us or they kill us. This is the end of it. We can't wait any longer. Enough.
We both got into an army jeep, and they told us to put our heads down. But I couldn't look away.
Look. People burned.
Car after car with dead people. Then you start realizing what happened.
A lad says, I never thought I'd ever see hell. The whole road was covered in bodies. So many bodies. Hundreds of bodies. You don't want to see this. I'm banging my head against the steering wheel and screaming in the car. Things that didn't add up to me. Where the hand and the leg and the face aren't supposed to be where they were. People under the car, inside the car, on the car, on the ground. Lifeless. And every time I think it's the end. And now the convoy of cars will end. But there's just more and more. I can't believe I'm seeing so many bodies. How is it possible there are so many? The first sunrise I saw was beautiful, and the second sunrise I saw was horrible. This is when we were at the kibbutz. We were sitting on the grass, having a quick cigarette. Suddenly, he starts crying and screaming. He saw Shani's video. Yeah, I saw the video. I saw her legs folded like that. I realized she'd been abused. There's cheering in the truck, around her. It looked like they were taking her away to rape her, like animals who... I can't even tell if what matters to them is the kidnapping or what they're going to do with her next. On May 17th, 2024, the IDF and Israeli Secret Service recovered the bodies of four hostages from Gaza, including Shani Luke. She was brought back to Israel for burial. Lali says, when we opened the door, what we saw was horrifying. We walk out of the toilet into a world that's been destroyed. Everything around is smoke, apocalyptic. Everything's black. Ben says, it felt like the Exodus to me. We reached a farm. I filmed all the people there. And I'm coming up to a tap with water, and the last person I almost managed to film is Kafir.
צילמתי את כל האנשים שהיו שם, ואני מגיע לברז של המים.
Kafir says, suddenly I notice Ben Sada. Ben Sada, my friend, we hug and I say yes. And then we walk together for many kilometers. We were walking through fields and Moran, she's a tiger. I salute her. My hat's off to her.
פנטרה, כאילו, אין מה להגיד. מצדיע לה, מוריד את הכובע.
She was strong. She didn't stay behind. Show your face to your mother. Here, everything's fine. And you're in. No one speaks during the drive. Not a word is spoken. We're just processing. Tamir says we're driving, holding hands. There's silence. Everything is empty. Lali says, the first soldier who approached us, he just hugged me for 2 minutes and I started crying, just started sobbing on him, like I'm thinking, what a joy to see soldiers, what a joy to see people from our side.
We survived a horrific terror attack that didn't seem possible to survive.
Nom says, I was severely wounded because I lost so much blood. I had two operations, and now I'm learning to walk, slowly. Ben says, this is a message Moran sent to my dad, without me knowing. Is this Ben's dad? Yes, who are you? Me. I'm the person who's alive, thanks to him. I don't understand. I was with him when we escaped. If it wasn't for your son, I wouldn't be here now. He didn't give up on me, no matter how many times I fell. He hid me under the bushes. I couldn't run and all. And he didn't give up on me. He took me, and we walked 4 hours on foot. If not for him, I don't think I would have made it out. Oh, sweetheart, first of all, I'm glad it's behind you. I owe him my life. It's something that stays with you. In the end, there's no explaining it. Then Ben's surprised when Moran walks over to him, and they hug. Wow, sweetheart. It's so good to see you, she says. Moran, 39, says, he's my angel. This hand held me for a very long time. One out of 9 people did not survive the party. That's crazy, it's unbelievable, replies Ben. Around 3,500 partygoers went to the Universo Parallelo Nova Music Festival. 364 were murdered and 44 others taken hostage. Hundreds more were wounded and thousands are receiving psychological support. Some have taken their own lives. Everything looks different since that day. Well, I guess I have the Nova disease.
I'm still coping. I don't know. Like, I can find myself crying in the middle of the day for no reason. Sleeping has become a mission.
It's scary to face the night. At night come the nightmares, the bodies, the blood, everything. There's no escape from it. Oshri. He really is what keeps me going. He's my light. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here today. Aleli, I help myself by letting other people help me. I feel that's what saved me. Aner Shapira, 22 years old. Aner is truly a hero. He saved so many people, and what he did is just, you can't comprehend it. His courage. Yeah, she's such a good kid. He shouldn't be there in Gaza. On August 31st, 2024, the body of 23-year-old Hersh Goldberg-Polin was retrieved from a tunnel under Rafah. American-born Hersh had been murdered after around 320 days as a hostage. Wearing a T-shirt with his face printed on it, Ziv says, "This is Elia. We've never been apart, even for a day, and suddenly I can't see him. I don't know what's happening to him. Elia deserves to mourn Amit too. I fall asleep in tears, and wake up in tears. And only then do I start my day. Every day." Film of Elia singing and playing guitar. It's so cruel because he really was an amazing guy and special. It doesn't make sense that a person is there and then they're just not. We laughed, we danced, and suddenly, nothing. Silence. Every time I talk about him, tell people about him, think about him, I fall apart.
אני מתפרק.
I feel like one day I'll be walking somewhere and he'll pop around the corner like, here I am.
הנה אני.
Ron Weinberg, 24 years old. Nom says, I couldn't believe this was happening. I couldn't believe I was burying my partner. The whole future I had in my hands. A husband, children, a family. The whole life I had ahead of me has been shattered. David Yar Shalom Newman, 25 years old. Shakan didn't survive, Gilly didn't survive, Avram didn't survive, Uriah didn't survive, Forty didn't survive. Many people I know and love didn't survive. Just murdered there. Ruth Peretz's wheelchair was found near the Gaza border. Days later, the burnt bodies of Ruth and her father, Eric, were found embracing each other. Ruth was 17 years old. Everyone was standing as they laid down the body, and we suddenly had the realization that this was really happening, and everyone burst into tears. I couldn't hold back, I just fell apart. 4 days after the massacre, 21-year-old Keshet's body was discovered. He's become a symbol of so many who were murdered on October the 7th, with no one to witness their death and tell their story.
Every single person that I lost on that day would have made the hell out of this life. And for them, I need to continue living. We're gonna need to go through mountains of pain until we get there, but I closed my eyes for a moment and I pictured my friends that aren't with us anymore and hoping that wherever they are, they're partying like crazy. And that one day we will too.
The families of the victims of Nova have demanded a public inquiry. One group of survivors is suing the Israeli security services for failing to foresee and stop the massacre. Israel's national security advisor had underestimated Hamas. Its army has promised a detailed and in-depth investigation. In total, 253 hostages were taken and more than 1,200 people were murdered on October the 7th. This film is dedicated to the memory of the victims of the Nova Music Festival. On screen, a long series of photos and names of the victims. October the 7th was the deadliest single day for the Jewish people since the Holocaust.
Details for organisations offering information and support with some of the issues raised are available at the BBC Action Line website. Looking at the Israel-Gaza war 1 year on, the full group of programmes marking the October 7th anniversary are now available to watch on BBC iPlayer.